everybody, and welcome to another show from Natural Horse Network. I'm your host, DC, and today I have Tim Link from WaggingTales.com as my guest. Tim is an animal communicator. Is that correct, Tim?
Yes, thanks for having me on. I'm an animal communicator, and I'm also a Reiki master, so I do Reiki energy healing for animals.
Okay. And so tell us a little bit how you got involved in all this.
Okay. Well, it started out about a little over 4 years ago. We'd always been around animals. We have plenty of animals of our own. My wife's a regular Ellie Mae Clampett from the Beverly Hillbillies. So she hasn't seen a critter she hasn't liked, and we've always had a house full of them. And about 4+ years ago, there was a workshop here in town to be able to communicate better with your animals and work on your telepathic capabilities and trying to bridge that relationship with your pets and your animals. And I went to the workshop with my wife as just a gift. It was a birthday present. She wanted to go, so I thought, okay, well, this will be an interesting experience. Little did I know that when I went there, all these, the portal opened up, all this communication came flying through. We were looking at pictures of animals, and we would have to tell the history behind the animal, or is the animal still with us or not, what's going on with that animal. I was hitting everything 100% correct. And then as they brought animals into the room, same thing. We did a quick scan of the animal to find out what was going on, opened up a line of communication with them, and I was hitting accurate on every one of those as well. So it was one of those things where I really hadn't expected it. It came upon me suddenly. And since then, you know, the gift has just continued to grow and expand, and now I'm just able to do wonderful things with it. And I decided last year that this is truly my mission. There's a reason I've been around all these wonderful animals for this for all these years. I do a lot of volunteer work at rescue organizations, and so it was clear to me that I needed to do this on a full-time basis. And so thus, here we are. We've got Tim Link of Wagging Tales, and this is why I do full-time.
Yeah, I love your website. Tell us a little about your website and how to get there.
Right. Well, I think it's a wonderful website, and I have to give kudos because my wife, Kim, put it together for me. So we know she's brilliant. And to take a look at the website, go to www.wagging-tales.com. That's wagging-tales.com, and because it's all about the tales the animals tell me. And the website will give you a little bit about who I am. There's a wonderful picture on there of me with my two beautiful schnauzers, my boys, Buzz and Woody. And so it gives you a little bit of background how I got started in all this, what I'm doing, the events that I'm doing. There's just a lot of activity there. There's a lot of good information about what is animal communications and what is Reiki energy healing for animals and how is this going to benefit me and the relationship I have with my animal. So it's a great website. Check it out. There's a lot of good stuff there, and it's easy to peruse, so I like it that way.
Yeah, I agree. I also have a link on my website, so if anybody can't find you, they can contact me. But so tell me a little more about what you do then using this Reiki and animal communication.
Right. So with animal communication, what I do is I call bridge a gap, a communication, try to fill the communication gap between the animal and their human companion. So most of us, obviously, when we are born, we're born with some telepathic capabilities. As children, we can talk to animals, we can talk to other people just by not the sure vocal capability, but just mentally connecting with them to know what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, as the years go by, as we get to be 4, 5, 6 years old, a lot of that gets taught out of us. We're taught not to talk to our imaginary friends. Don't act this way, not another way. And our vocal skills, and so our vocal skills start to take in, come into play, and we can speak better vocally. And so we sort of forget all about our telepathic capabilities, and we push them aside, and we lose that capability. And fortunately for me, after many years, it's come back full force. So we're, 30-plus years, it decided to present itself again, and it directed me toward the animals. And so what I do basically is I form I ask the animal if I can have a conversation with them. I form a telepathic connection with them. I ask questions about what's going on in their lives and the lives of their family and their human companions. And we just try to get a better understanding of what is happening with your animals so you can form a better relationship with them.
And you can do this with a photograph, too, isn't that true?
Yes, I can do it with a photograph, right. And also I don't even need a photograph. It's always good
really?
To have a photograph there because you can tune into the animal better, and you can, you know, if it's a picture of their face and their eyes, you know, it's sort of like the eyes are the windows to the soul, and it helps form that connection. But, yeah, the gift has really started to expand, and I've been able to do it without even seeing the animal, either in picture form or in real life. And so a lot of times, a lot of the clients are asking me to communicate with their animals that have transitioned, and I've been able to do that as well and get a better feeling for what's happened to the animal and what how their energy feels today, and to be honest with you, if they're coming back or not.
Really? Wow. That's so cool. I hope we get some callers. But, you know, I'm kind of curious about what do you think the most common thing is as far as issues with, well, let's say horses. Do you do a lot of horses?
I do actually, and it's a pleasure dealing with them because we, you know, not only, as you know, they're very majestic creatures and very warm and loving animals, but they're also very talkative. They're chatty. They love
really?
To, whenever there's a connection, there's a real chattiness to them. They want to let people know what's going on with them. And so when we take a look at the horses and communicating with them, you know, they really do want to try to please their human companions and please the people that are working with them. And so if they can let us, through talking to me, if they can let me know what is happening with them both physically, mentally, and emotionally, I can translate that back over to their human companions.
So do you have any stories to tell us about interesting chats you've had with horses?
Yeah, there's a couple of them, actually. We had on your website, I sent you over a photo, and there's a picture of me with a couple of the neighbor horses. There's a beautiful farm that's just right up the road from us, and our neighbor allows us to go in there and pet them and do whatever we want to do with them. And during this day, this was last Saturday, and we were doing a photo shoot of me with some animals. We're doing some PR pieces and some marketing pieces, and this is one of the photos that came from the photo shoot. Now, when I went to the farm, the photographer, he never really experienced this whole thing about animal communication. He was still trying to get a grasp for, you know, what is it exactly you do? How does this stuff really work? And so what I did was we went up to the fence and out into the pasture were most of the horses. And I said, well, let me just show you how it works. And so I walked into the pasture, got within about 20 feet or so from the horses. They stood there patiently trying to observe exactly who I was and what was it I was doing. So I went about 20 feet away from them. I stopped. I basically just asked them if I could have a conversation by just using my gift and my ability. Told them, I wanted to show these humans what it was all about and what the connection would be, and if they were okay with it, for them to come on over toward me, I'll hold out my hand, and they can sniff and nibble on my hand and get a sense of my energy, and it will help me project back to these simple humans about what all this communication stuff's about. And lo and behold, as soon as we had the conversation, you know, the horses agreed to it. They, two of them came walking right over. They sort of nibbled on my hand with their lips, did the tasting, did the, sort of the smell and picking up on the energy that I had. And we stood there in just quiet silence for a moment in time, just having a nice little conversation. And it really enlightened the photographer. He finally grasped what it was all about, that I could go into a pasture where horses were that weren't familiar with me, knew me as a neighbor that would come up maybe to the fence or drive by them as they were out in the pasture, but no real direct interface with them ever. And I could walk into this field and just stand there, and they would come over to me and continue our conversation.
You know, and the picture depicts that. It looks like you're all having a little chat. I love that picture you sent me.
We were. We were having a great chat, and I made the biggest faux pas ever. When you're meeting someone and meeting a pet, and you they're cordial enough to talk to you, you obviously should not only give them some pets and give them some love, but these horses want to know where their treats were. They were being so cooperative. Why didn't I bring them any apples or carrots or any special treats? So I made the major faux pas of not bringing anything with me that day. So I've got to correct that, and this weekend I plan on swinging by the farm and at least giving them a few treats, thanking them for their efforts. But during that time, we
said, "Is that what
yes,
they said to you?"
Yes, they came up to me, and so they were saying, "Okay, you know, I showed the photographer, I showed those simple humans that we could talk. Now, where's my treat?" And I said, "Oops, I did make that mistake, didn't I? I didn't bring a treat with me." But so we enjoyed the grass. They had a real nice pasture there, and
I saw that. Well, somebody
nice.
Was asking, how long does it usually take to connect with a pet?
Usually it's pretty fairly instantaneous to connect with them because two reasons. One, they're intrigued by it because they don't experience humans that can typically speak the same language that they do, because obviously they communicate with each other telepathically in most cases. And secondly, they're anxious. They're anxious to tell us about what's going on and what's happening with them and answer the questions of their human companions because they, you know, they want to please us. They want to do their very best and meet the expectations we have of them. And in return, they're very anxious to tell us their expectations so we can form that better relationship and that better bond with them. So it's pretty quick. And they're always, I've never had an animal yet that hasn't wanted to talk to me. Some of them have been very to the point, and some of them have been less talkative than others. Some of them, you know, look at me like, okay, I'm just another crazy human out there bugging them. But for the most part, they're pretty open and honest and wanting to let me know what's happening with them.
So I don't know if you mind this. I have a mare that I had to put down a couple years ago, and I'm really curious about, I'm sure a lot of people are, about whether I did the right thing. You know, I feel a lot of guilt over, was it right? Could I have kept her going? And so do you get calls like that where people need to kind of ease their minds with passed over horses, pets?
Yeah,
if they've
definitely.
Had to put euthanize?
Yes, definitely so. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
they're huge parts of our lives. They're part of our family. And we want to do what's best. And then there's always that concern about when they transition, especially if they transition quickly or the illness caught up. You know, maybe you were getting it under control and then it slowly got worse or quickly got worse. Those are when you have to make those tough decisions about your animal, that's the you know, things people worry about the most. And what I try to tell them in every situation is you obviously care and love that animal, and you've done everything you possibly can to help that animal. And so, you know, it does come a point where the pet or the animal is wanting to stay with you, but if they feel their mission has been completed and their body is not keeping up with what they want to continue to do for you, then by all means it's a very humane thing to do to help them with their transition and be there with them, giving them love and energy while they go through the transition. And so your
yeah.
mare, it had been sick on and off for a little while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she was a rescue and she had many health issues, but she was at the point where she was not able to get up on her own in the pasture, and I felt like that would be very dangerous. For her, you know, as far as predators and stuff. But then I think she really went downhill after I had to start boarding her. And also I sold another horse that was her great companion. They were great buds. And I really believe that she just kind of let go after that and said, you know, I'm ready to go now. Or, you know, maybe I just tell myself that, because I think we all communicate with animals, but we're not really aware that that's what we're doing. Does that make sense?
No, exactly. I mean, if you have a love of animals and you're around the animals, on a daily basis, then you do pick up that. You are able to communicate with them. And sometimes it's very simple things. Maybe it's you brush it off as a routine, or, you know, this is something that they always do, so that's why I'm recognizing it. But in reality, they're letting you know the best they can what's going on with them. So your mirror that you helped transition, I think you were going through some transition as well. Were there some changes going on in your life? And
yes, very major changes. So
we take a look at that. And so it wasn't a situation where you helped the animal transition because you could no longer take care of that animal. It was more of the fact that the animal's body was breaking down, so you needed to do the humane thing for your mare. And what mare's, you know, what it's trying to tell me is the fact that the mare understood the transition, understood what you were going through, and they came into your life to continue to teach you the love you have of horses and rescuing, what the love you can get out of rescuing an animal. But when it was time for you to make your transition, it was also time for some of your animals to sort of make their transition into either another life or to transition out of their body into the positive energy, the God energy, so you can continue to focus on your transition in your life.
Wow, that feels really right to me.
So you did the right thing. Don't feel bad about that. And there's going to be other opportunities. And don't be surprised if you feel that same energy that your horse had come back in a different energy in a different horse at the right time.
That's cool. I can't wait. Well, we have a caller. Is it okay if I take a call?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Hello, 208. Do you have a question? Are you there?
We have a shy caller.
Yeah. Are you on the air? 208. We can hear you. Maybe she can't. Maybe she has herself muted. I noticed on your website, too, you had something on there about animals that run away, which I thought was so interesting because my daughter had a dog that would constantly run away. Now, I've never had this happen, but this dog, any chance it could get, would run away and eventually was hit by a car, little Jack Russell. But I thought it was so interesting how you put that on there about how they have this mission and that they're not necessarily always running away to get away from a bad life. They just have a mission.
Yeah, exactly. When you think about it, the way I look at it is, you know, every living thing is made up of energy, source energy, God energy, whatever you want to label it. We're all energy. And so when we come down into form, and whether we come into human form or we're a horse or the Jack Russell dog, we have a mission that we're trying to complete while we're in this body, while we're on this earth. Now, unfortunately for us humans, most of us tend to get distracted about what our mission is. We get caught up in these things called ego and life and, you know, wanting the bigger house and the bigger car. And we tend to forget exactly what our purpose is. And we hope that somewhere down the road we figure out what our mission and our purpose is and we get back on track to fulfill that. But with animals, their mission stays clear. Their mission and purpose stays very clear to them what they need to do. So they'll come into your life. They'll choose the home, the family, the person that they want to, that they're there for, that they're there to complete that mission. And they'll do everything possible to complete that mission with that family. Now, sometimes that's a lifetime. Sometimes, your animal will come into your life and they'll stay with you. Maybe they're teaching you about love or teaching you about how to have a great, solid relationship in a family environment. Maybe it's transitions, like we talked before, going through transition. They'll come into your life for that purpose, and they'll stay with you for their entire life, getting you complete and get you squared away before they leave and they transition out of their body. But other animals are only here for a short period of time. They're here to teach us a lesson, and then they'll either transition out of body or they'll go on to their next home or their next person to teach them that same goal. So you with your Jack with your daughter's Jack Russell. What he was trying to accomplish was to was multiple missions. He was wanting people to understand that he was he liked to go out and explore. He liked to see what was going on, and he was trying to teach people that don't get caught up in your stagnant routines. Go out and explore things. Go out and see what's going on. And his purpose.
I love that. That's so fitting.
And that's what he wanted to teach. And so, unfortunately, you know, he got hit by the car and he transitioned. But one thing that you can sort of feel good about also is animals have this distinct capability of whenever a tragedy is going to happen, whenever they're going to get, we'll say in this case, get hit by the car, right before it happens, they are actually able to step out of their bodies and not feel the pain of that that accident happening. So their souls, their energy will leave their body when the accident does happen. So, you know, I guess to feel rest assured and feel comfortable with the situation is the fact that, you know, he didn't feel the pain when it did happen.
Oh, that's nice. I'll have to tell her that.
Yeah.
So caller 208, are you there? Did you get your phone off mute?
I did, I think. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear
you.
Yay. Okay, welcome. Sorry about that. I couldn't figure out how to get my phone off mute.
Is this Angela?
Technology.
It is.
Hi, Angela.
How are you, guys?
Question?
Well, not yes and no. I'm not a skeptic, but I know a lot of people that are. What do you say to people who are so skeptical about animal communication?
Right. Well, very good point, Angela. I appreciate that. And, yeah, there are skeptics out there because this is not the norm. We've been taught, you know, that we shouldn't talk telepathically. We shouldn't be, you know, that this is not the normal way that people communicate. And all I say to people is the fact that, you know, all I can tell you is what the animals are telling me. My background, you know, I spent 20 years as a corporate executive with major telecom companies. I was one of those guys that was driven to rise up the ladder and make as much money as I can and build the big house and live the corporate dream, you know, the American dream, and have the family. And I was like everybody else. I wasn't as skeptical as some people, but it was not part of my life. But when gifts are presented to you and you're able to do these things, then you should take advantage of that. There's a reason that I was given this gift. And I need to try to fulfill it and try to make animal communication more of a more accepted practice. And sort of the way I look at it is, if what do you have to lose? If you are, you love your animal, you take care of your animal, they're part of your family. Even if you look at it from a pure financial standpoint, that animals and pets are a multi-billion-dollar industry. And you don't hesitate to run them to a normal, you know, westernized veterinarian whenever they've got a cough or a knee problem or whatever it may be. And you don't hesitate to give them the best food. So why not give this an opportunity? Why don't you give this a chance? Let's see if I can find out something that will help you bridge the gap, that communication gap, form an even closer relationship with your animal.
So have you ever had that opportunity, I should say, when you did have a skeptic and then they completely disregard anything you've said about the animal that the animal has communicated to you?
I have dealt with my fair share of skeptics. The ones that actually afford me the opportunity to work with them and their pets quickly become non-skeptics because we have been.
And that's
been
great.
Able
I love that. Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, there. Everybody will typically question it. You know, they'll wonder if it's really true or not. A lot of times when I go to visit with clients, if they're kind of skeptical, they'll ask me sort of a canned question, like, what's his favorite treat? Or, you know, what do you have for breakfast this morning? And I can tell you those things, but do you really want to know that? Or would you rather know, how's he feeling? Does he love me? Does he need something from me? Is he feeling okay mentally, physically, emotionally? What can he tell me that will make his life easier? And while he's at it, why does he keep misbehaving? How can I communicate back to him or her that I'd like for her to act a certain way. I would like for them to use their litter box or their, you know, quit picking on mm-hmm. the other dog. How can I relay that to them while at the same time still fulfilling the needs of the animal?
Exactly.
And so I get a lot of that. I get a lot of my cat all of a sudden has stopped using the litter box. Can you help me? And I do. I do.
Is that usually something has to do with the transition in the home or something going on with the home environment when you have the intense, you know, the completely diversion from the norm?
The complete diversion from the norm is either physical, mental, or emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either something going on within the animal or is going on around their environment. So with the horses in particular, they're very in tune with what we're doing, what we're thinking, what we're feeling. So if our home environment is changing, if we're transitioning in our home environment, or if there's something going on physically, mentally, or emotionally with me, my animal, my horse, is going to pick up on that. And they're going to start acting out to basically tell you that they see what's going on within you. They want to make sure you understand what's going on within you and around you. And they want desperately to be able to tell you how they can help you with that.
I see.
And that's why we see a lot of times when all of a sudden a horse or an animal, you know, gets sick, we also find out there's something going on with their owner, their human companion. And so whenever you see your animal start to get sick, it's a good opportunity for you to step back, take a breath, and look at yourself and your family and your home environment to see what's going on, because there's something that's causing some dis-ease with the horse, and it's probably some dis-ease with your family as well.
Now, before I let Colleen take back over, because I know I'm dominating.
No, it's all right.
Okay, go in for horses or animals, actually any species of animal, actually. When you're communicating with them and you're finding some sort of physical ailment, how does that come across to you? I mean, how do they tell you if, you know, they're in pain with a certain maneuver, or if they're in pain when they do a certain, you know, activity, that kind of thing?
Right. So there's two methods I use. One is the communicating with the animal for them to tell me where they're having the issue. And a lot of times that is either through telepathic connection. A lot of times they'll sniff or lick the area, or they'll show me. A lot of times they'll transfer the pain. So if they're having a hip pain, all of a sudden out of nowhere I'll get a hip pain myself. Mm-hmm. And so it gives me all the gambits of smell, taste, feeling, and the telepathic connection. But in addition to that, I'm a Reiki master, and so I do Reiki energy healing, and I focus that on the animals. So I am able to scan with my hands mm-hmm. the animal to feel what's going on and try to determine where the energy is getting some negative blockage. So, for instance, when I'll start at the head of the horse, and I'll say feel a cool energy, because it's usually, it's a consistent energy. It's either cool or it's warm. And so in this case, we'll say it's cool energy. I'll start at the head and start working my way down. And when I get to an area that's very warm or very hot, I know that there's...
You know, I have a blockage.
I know there's a blockage there. Same way if I started at the head and it was warm, and all of a sudden I'd go down, there would be a cool spot or a cold spot. And I knew there was some blockage there, so I can tell... that there's some energy blockage there and there's some issues. And so I ask the animal, is this where you're having the pain or the discomfort or the dis-ease? And they'll give me the communication back either in the smell, touch, taste, or showing me that, yes, this is the area that I'm having problems with.
So looking at your website and you do the phone consult, how do you do that with the Reiki over the distance?
I can do it over the distance with the Reiki.
Okay.
And usually a photo is helpful to do that, and I just do the same body scan remotely, because once I've connected with the animal, I can pick up all the energy that's flowing through that animal.
Okay.
And so we're talking on the phone right now. I don't see you. I don't know who you are. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you in person, but I'm still communicating with you, and I can still feel
yes.
things with you and understand where you're coming from. We're speaking verbally, but with animals, it's just speaking telepathically, and so it's the same type of thing.
I see. Okay.
I was thinking that how animals can mirror us, though, with the emotions and the things that we are feeling, they will mirror that behavior.
They will. It's very
cats.
True. Well, animals are very sensitive, and you know, and us humans, we have that same ability also.
Mm-hmm.
So just think about those times when you've been in a really cheerful mood and everything's going great, and you walk into the room and your best friend or your partner or one of your kids is having a really bad day. Within seconds, your day starts to turn bad. You start to fall into that hole because you've now started absorbing that negative energy that was in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always use the analogy, it's easier to fall into a hole than to climb out of one. So I always try to keep my energy high and keep it positive, because that makes me feel good, and hopefully it will attract the same with the other people and the other animals I'm around.
I agree.
But with animals, you're exactly right. They're even more sensitive to what's going on, and so if there's something going on with you mentally, physically, or emotionally, they're going to pick up on that. They're going to pick up on it rather quickly, and the longer that it progresses, the more it progresses within you and the longer it lasts, the more impact it's going to have on the animal, whether it's positive or negative.
Very interesting.
Now,
well,
on your...
Go ahead, Angela.
Oh, on your prices now, I was looking at your, you know, your website, of course, and I like your website as well. So kudos to your wife.
Kudos.
Yes. And I'm looking at you also do an email consultation as well as phone and in person. Is there a difference in price on those? And how long does, I should say, if you're working, say you have multiple pets and you want to get a grip on a couple of them, how long does that usually take?
Usually, the pricing is the same, whether it's an email consultation,
okay,
phone consultation, or in person. I should put a caveat in there. The in person is a little bit more expensive because I have to account for my time and travel time, but
exactly,
everything else stays the same. As far as the time requirement, it really depends on what you're trying to find out from your animal, how many questions you have, and how deep you want to get involved in it. So if you sort of want a rule of thumb, usually if you have, I'd say, 4 or 5 animals or less, so less than 5, we can
mm-hmm.
accomplish that in about an hour. Most of the time I find out with my clients, they usually have a lot of questions for one particular animal because they're, you know, having some issues or whatever it may be, and then there's several follow-up questions for the other animals in their house.
I see.
Yeah, you can usually, you know, thumb in the air, maybe 4 or 5 in an hour's time.
Tell me why my healer's joined at my hip.
They listen in. They know that we're talking about them. So that's
yeah, he's looking at me too.
You were asking great stories earlier, and I had another fantastic one that actually involved a couple of horses. I was speaking to a lady doing a phone consultation about one of her dogs. And she had 2 dogs, 2 cats, and there were 2 horses in the neighbor's pasture next to them. And before the call, all of them were up running around the house, and the horses out in the pasture were up running around. And everything, you know, everybody was active. And they'd been that way most of the day. Well, I activated my Reiki energy. I called, made the connection with the first dog. And as soon as I made that connection, both the dogs walked into the room, and the 2 cats followed them immediately, and they all laid around the lady, my client, and they all laid there and didn't make a move for the solid hour that we were on the phone. And as she pulled back the blind to look and see what the horses were doing, they decided to lay down closest to her window as possible, side by side, and they laid down for the entire hour. And then when I was done with the conversation and I thanked the animals for talking to me, all of them, in the house and outside the house, got up and went on their merry ways.
Oh, my goodness. How cute.
That's great.
It is cute because they know that we're talking about them. They feel that energy. They feel that positive energy flowing through, and they want to know what it's all about, and they're very interested to try to tell us what's happening.
But, Tim, do they understand it in the same way that we do as humans, or is it different from them? I mean, can they understand a conversation in the same way we do?
Yes, they And that goes back to, you know, we are all made up of the same energy. We're all made up of the same source energy. So there's no reason, just because they chose to be in that form compared to a human form, that they're any different than we are. So, yes, they fully understand what you're saying. They fully understand the moods that you're going through and the energy that you're giving them. They know when you've done something, when they communicate it back to you and you've actually got what they're trying to say to you. So, yes, they know. So be careful what you say around them, because they'll pick up on it rather quickly.
That makes sense to me.
Yes.
And I have one more question. You know, being in the natural business, trying to get people to think along those lines more, I find that a lot of people are still looking for that quick fix, you know, and they're hesitant to try anything that they're not sure of, such as Reiki or communication, and because they want that quick fix. Do you run into that?
We do. I do run into it in the fact that, it's sort of, that's how our society is. You know, we're the 10-minute oil change. We're the people that when you pull up to the drive-through window and pay the first person the money and you go to collect the food at the other end, if it's not ready, you get upset. So we've got to get out of that mentality. I think as humans, we're getting more and more enlightened. We're more enlightened to what's going on around us spiritually. We're getting more in tune with alternative, as they call it today, but more natural remedies. So the homeopathic methods, the acupuncture, the chiropractic, the animal communication, Reiki energy. We're getting there slowly. We're just a little slower, especially in westernized culture. We're a little bit slower than some other cultures to accept it. But I guess the way I look at it is the fact that, there are no quick fixes. If an animal or a person has all of a sudden turned ill, gotten sick, that didn't happen overnight. There's been something going on within them for quite some time. And so for us to expect a quick fix overnight, we shouldn't expect it. We should know that it took us a while to get to this negative point. It's going to take us a while to get back.
Right.
And when you're taking a look at alternative remedies, I look at it from twofold. When we start to talk about skeptics coming into not only believing what the things that I'm talking about, but also in the fact that, if you're a skeptic out there and you've tried everything else, what's it going to hurt for you to try these other methods? Some of these methods have been around thousands of years. Telepathic communication has been around since man was around and even before that time. So why not try that? And even if you look at it from a pure economical standpoint, a financial standpoint, at times these remedies, whether we're talking about vitamins, herbs, other homeopathic remedies, energy healing, acupuncture, all these things are tried and true, and most of the time they're, in the long run, less expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Than
very
taking
true.
Your farm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because think about, there's good reason that there's the pharmaceutical companies are not the ones, unemployed, we'll put it that way.
Yeah.
We spend billions of dollars every year on our pharmaceuticals. So why not try these alternative routes? And I hope at one point in time we become so enlightened that we don't even use the word of alternative modalities.
I think we will. I think people are becoming more aware, but... we have to also understand that some people are not there, and it's not their fault. They're just not, their awareness is just not there yet.
That's right. So we have to honor them for who they are and where they're at today.
Exactly.
And if we can help them along the way, we'd be more than glad to do that.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for doing this. I hope you'll join us again on another show, and maybe we can get some other callers to call in.
Well, we'd be glad to talk about it a little bit. And one of the things, just real quick, in addition to the work that I do here with the animal communication and the energy healing, I'm also the president of one of our local humane societies. So we obviously are a no-kill shelter, and we deal a lot with helping animals out. And so I encourage your listeners to, not only take a look at your rescue organizations for animals, horses, dogs, cats, you name it. If there's a living, breathing animal out there. There's an organization that's helping to rescue them. So take a look at those opportunities because there's some wonderful animals there. And get involved. Help your rescue groups out. It's a wonderful place to meet great people and feel good about helping the animals. And work with your legislators. Work with the groups like the Humane Society of the United States and the ASPCA and some of the other ones out there in helping your legislators pass the right laws and bills to help these animals.
Is there anything at the very end that you could suggest for the average person to try and get more in touch with their own pets?
The best thing you can do is listen.
Mm-hmm.
It really is the best thing you can do. You sit down, you spend quiet time with your pet. If you do any sort of meditation or prayer time, invite them into that circle and spend your time with your animal because they're gonna feel your positive energy. And if you listen closely, they're going to be able to tell you exactly what's going on and what their needs are.
Great.
So that's the biggest thing. And the only other tidbit, here's one tidbit I give everybody, so I'll throw it out there as well, because this is good for all of our wonderful human companions that have horses. As you know, animals, when you leave them, leave the house, go on vacation, leave for the day, whatever it may be, they have quite a bit of an anxiety issue. They are not sure what's going on, when you'll be back, who's going to feed them, what are they supposed to be doing when you're gone. So one of the things I always tell everybody to do is that when you're leaving your house, make sure your animal knows, your pet knows where you're going, when you'll be back, and what is their job to do while you're gone.
So you tell them this physically, vocally, or do you kind of try and send it to them telepathically?
If I can do it physically and vocally, and I can go up to my dog or my cat or whatever and pet them and say, you know, Buzz, I'm going to the store today. I did this today, actually. Daddy's going to the store. I'm going to be back in 1 hour, so that'll be 1:30. And what I need you to do while you're gone is lay down and take a nap and watch after your brother. Now, obviously, if you have horses and they're out in pasture and you can't physically run up to each one of them and catch them before you take off to the store, it makes it a little bit trickier. But there's no reason you can't take a second. Take a look out your pasture, close your eyes, think about your horses, and project out to them that I'm going to be leaving, I'm going on vacation to Hawaii. Might as well think of a great place while we're mentioning vacation.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'm going on vacation to Hawaii. I'm going to be on for 7 days, so that'll be next Friday that I'm home, and I'm going to be home about 6 o'clock. And what I need you to do is eat your hay, quit picking on JoJo,
yeah.
And go inside the barn when it's raining, whatever the job is you're wanting them to do. And you'll be amazed at how it tones down the anxiety. They'll be much better behaved while you're gone, and you'll come back, and they'll feel much better about you've been gone.
I'm going to have to try that because my dog is very anxious when I leave because he thinks he's got to go.
Exactly. He wants to know why he's not going and why is this different? Because other times he gets to go. So why isn't he get to go this time? So what's different? So I always recommend that. I do that, and I tell everybody to do that when they're going on trips or vacations or if they're just going to their mailbox.
Wow.
Because have you ever done a live kind of phone consult?
A live telephone consult?
I'm saying, see, we're on the air now.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was wanting to do this, would you be willing to do this live to help prove the point that this works?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure.
I think that would be a really fun thing to get people more believing in the ability.
Well,
yeah.
I think we could schedule another show and we could try that. But my thought is I don't really care if people believe or don't believe, because I think if you're in the right place, you will just know that this is right and it works. So I would like to do it just to benefit somebody and their pet rather than to prove or disprove.
Well, I agree with that too, but that would just be something fun to kind of do so
mm-hmm.
somebody could hear a live consult.
I think that would be very interesting.
Yeah, we would be glad.
Them.
Yeah, be glad to do that. And a lot of times, what we can do is, if we know when the next schedule is going to be that I'm going to be on. Promote it, let people know that I'll be there. They can send in pictures ahead of time to my email address, so I have the photos. And when they call in, we'll do some live readings and some live talk to the animals, and we'll see if we can get them in a better place.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Wonderful. So then we wouldn't need to have the pets in the room, like we don't need to bring our chickens and rabbits and horses inside.
No, you don't have to, but by all means, if they want to be part of the fun, bring them on down.
Oh, okay. I'd definitely be willing to pay for that and go with that route, because I've got a couple that I would really like to get in contact with.
Oh, I'd be glad to do it. And, Colleen, if you want to book a future show for me to do that, they're obviously your callers. I won't charge them while we're on the air, and we'll do some readings and have some fun with it.
Absolutely. This has been great. Thank you so much for joining us, Tim.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks, Angela.
Thank you, Tim.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.